according to the scriptures. First of all, how many of people here have their Bibles with them? Wonderful. Praise God, that is just great. Okay. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures this afternoon. So I'm going to write them all down. And everything I say here this afternoon is right from scripture.
If something's my opinion, I will let you know. But it's right from scripture.
The first question we get all the time is, why do we suffer? If Yahweh loves us so much, why do we suffer from disease and sickness just like an unbeliever? And the answer is that we have adopted so far away from the way Yahweh wanted us to conduct ourselves and live our lives that we are suffering just like the people that don't even know who Yahweh is. We have to understand something. First, let me get into my background a little so you can kind of understand why I'm teaching this and how. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, if you couldn't guess that already. Who's here from the East Coast? The East Coast. I know, Northeast. Northeast? All right, we have some translators in the room. I grew up in the Northeast, and as I was growing up, I was always into fitness, but I wasn't into health. I didn't know that they were different. I thought they were the same thing. Yeah. But I found out the hard way there's a difference between being fit and being healthy. Matter of fact, most of the people you see in those gyms working out all day long, they're not eating healthy. That's why they need to be there all day long. The healthier you eat, the less you need to exercise. If that's not a great reason to eat healthy, I don't know what is. But that doesn't mean you don't need to exercise at all. We still need to get some exercise as well. But I was this, what we would call in New York, the gym rat. And no, that doesn't mean we have rats in the gym. That means somebody that's always in and out of the gym all the time. And I lived a very hectic lifestyle. When I was the time I was 19, I could just about eat anything I wanted to, and I felt amazing. The reason why was two reasons. Number one is, when you're younger, you can do just about anything and feel great.
That's right.
But what you eat when you're younger will catch up to you when you're older. Yeah. What you eat right now is an investment in your health in the future years. So that was the first reason I was able to get away with it. The other reason was, is I was living off stimulation. Now, I never drank one cup of coffee in my life. But I was addicted to something called Jolt, which is like soda or quadruple with caffeine. And now it's even worse these days. But so my life, I would get up in the morning, I would go on the subway, and by the way, if you're not from New York, a subway is not just a place you get something to eat, it's a train that goes under the ground. I would go on the subway, I would go to New York City, I would work out early in the morning, I would go to work all day on Wall Street, I would go after work, I would go back in the evening to school at nighttime, and I would get home sometimes. After 11 o'clock at night, and then I would do my two favorite things, watch TV and eat late at night. And I would get very little sleep, and I did that for several years. When I was 19, it caught up to me. I developed really bad stomach pains, and I went to the emergency room at the hospital, and the doctors were there. I went several times, and every time I went, they kept saying, I have food poisoning. Well, it was three times in 1 week they said I had food poisoning, three different doctors. So I started to think, either the doctors are wrong or somebody's trying to kill me. And I couldn't think of too many people that didn't want me around back then, so I figured the doctors were wrong in what they were saying. And at the time I had drug insurance, which a lot of people call health insurance, but I call it drug insurance because it doesn't pay for health, it pays for drugs. I went to this doctor, and the doctor did a whole bunch of tests, and she diagnosed me with inflammatory bowel disease, also known as ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, which is inflammation of the colon. And she scared me because she said that there's no known medical cure. And she also told me at 20 years old that I was at high risk for colon cancer, and by the time I was 30, I probably had it. But she said, don't worry, there's a cure for colon cancer. I said, there's no cure for inflammatory bowel disease, but there's a cure for colon cancer? She said, yeah, if we cut out your colon, you can't get colon cancer. And she was serious.
Yeah.
And I said, there's no way. I didn't know much at all. I was listening to what the doctor said. But that's when I said, I got to think of something else because I'm not cutting out anything from my body. However, the pain got so bad, I started to question that decision even. And I understand what it's like when somebody's living with pain and dealing with pain and disease, and somebody's given a death sentence, like many people I see are. But there is a way out. And at that time in my life, I was an atheist. I didn't know Yahweh. I didn't believe in pretty much anything but science. And up to that point, I was doing great, so I really didn't have to look at that too much. But then, so I tried just about everything the doctor told me to do to get better, but I wasn't getting better. I was getting worse. And then somebody told me that diet had a lot to do with my condition. So I asked my doctor if there was any connection between my diet and my condition. And she said there are no medical studies that prove there's any connection between diet and inflammatory bowel disease. Well, since she wasn't getting me better, I figured I should look more into this. And somebody told me if I eliminate dairy products from my diet, my problem would begin to heal. So I asked my doctor if there was any connection between consuming dairy products and my condition. And she said, there are no medical studies to prove there's any connection between consuming dairy products and my condition. And that's when I really got smart. That's when I decided I was going to eliminate dairy products from my diet to see what would happen. And so I decided I was going to eliminate dairy products to see what would happen without telling my doctor, because I didn't want to hear it from her. Now, I didn't know what dairy products was at the time. I knew it was milk because it said right there in a container, a big leg of dairy milk. But I didn't know it was ice cream and butter and cheese and all these things. And when I looked, I realized that most of my diet had dairy products in it. So I said, I got to really get serious about this. So I decided I was going to eliminate dairy products to see what would happen. So I eliminated dairy products and I started to feel better. Now, I wasn't cured, but I wasn't as sick. So that's the first time I made two connections. The first connection is diet did have something to do with my health. And the other connection was doctors really don't know about health. So I made that connection, and at the time I didn't know a lot, and I became a vegan. I didn't know much at the time, so I was a junk food vegan. I made the same mistake that many people make today. Let me give you an example. If you have a cookie, and you can have an organic cookie, it's still cookies. It doesn't make it healthy. So, you know, there's a difference between doing it the right way and the wrong way. So, at the time I didn't know better, but I still felt a little better, but I wanted to be completely better. And then somebody told me that stress had a lot to do. No, they told me if I stopped consuming animals, my condition would continue to heal. So I wanted to be sure about this, so I asked my doctor if there was any connection to consuming animals and my condition. Take a wild guess what she told me. There are no medical studies proving any connection between consuming animals and my condition. So she told me that and became a vegetarian overnight after that. And that's when I was really healing. Now, I wasn't completely better, but I was doing much better. And that's when somebody told me stress had a lot to do with my condition. So I wanted to be sure about this, so I asked my doctor if there was any connection between stress and my condition. And she said, there are no medical studies to prove there's any connection between stress and your condition. So when she told me this, I knew I had to reduce the stress in my life. Because you understand, I found, you know, if you want to be the healthiest person, you go find the most popular doctor. And whatever they say, do the opposite. And you'll be pretty healthy. By the way, are any doctors in the room? Not really. Some doctors are truly amazing and a blessing. Emergency room doctors, kids with spinal cord injuries, and certain instances, doctors are a blessing. But if we put something in our body that creates an illness, the answer isn't taking some drug to deal with the pain. The answer is eliminating or causing the problem. Health doesn't begin with what we add to our diet. It begins when we eliminate. Eliminate will cause the problem begins to go away. Everyone say eliminate.
Eliminate.
Now say it with enthusiasm.
Eliminate.
Okay, now I hope you all do that on a regular basis. So we need to make sure we eliminate what causes the problem. So somebody told me that, you know, stress had a lot to do with it. My doctor said it didn't, so I figured it didn't. I had to reduce the stress in my life. So the first thing I did to reduce the stress in my life was I eliminated my doctor. Right away, I felt better. Let me clarify something, because I am from New York. I didn't like to eliminate my doctor. I just stopped going to visit her. So then I had to move to a more stressless environment. And I looked at all over the country about 18 years ago, and I chose West Palm Beach, Florida. Now, when I moved down there 18 years ago, there wasn't too much stress going on down there back then. People knew how to vote down there at that time. It was a very stressless environment. And getting down there, and to make a long story short, I ended up moving right next to a place called the Hippocrates Health Institute, which is the world's best health spa that teaches how to heal disease by changing your lifestyle and also changing your diet to consuming raw foods in your diet. It made sense to me, but I don't do anything until I'm 100% sure, and I wasn't 100% sure. I still had to hear it from one more person that I knew it worked before I did it. So I called my doctor from New York City, and I told her I was going to cure myself from this incurable disease, and she said, how is that? I'm going to go on a raw food diet. Will this help me? She said exactly what I needed to stay on this path. She said, there are no studies to prove raw food is good to you. I should recommend it against it. So I know I'm on the right track, and I went on a raw food diet, and I've been better since. Now, I am not saying you need to be on an overall diet to be better, and I'm not saying you need to be on a vegan diet to be healthy. I am saying you need to pay attention to what you're eating to be healthy. And we need to find the finest, because it says exactly what we need to be doing. From there, I started to believe in something else, a higher power. And I searched many different places for what this higher power was, because I believed in something else out there that helped me heal. And it wasn't until about maybe 8 years ago when I was in Michigan teaching, and after my lecture, somebody came to me and said, Paul, your book is the second greatest help book I've ever read. And I said, what's the first? They go, I'll give you one on two conditions. The first one is, before you develop an opinion about the book, you read the whole book. I said, well, how can I develop an opinion about it unless I read the whole book? They said, well, you see, some people have a habit of just skimming through the pages and they think they read the whole thing. I said, no, if you say, I love help books, if you say this is that good, I'm going to read the whole thing. The next thing they said was, if you disagree that it's not the best help book you've ever read, just give it back to me. But if you agree, you've got to tell the people about it. I said, I don't think it's going to be the greatest help book, but if it is, I'm glad to tell the people about it. I read it, and it was. And that book was the Bible. I found more information about health than any other book I've ever read, and I've read hundreds of health books up to that point in my life. And I am telling you, after that, I went to go speak in some churches, and I remember the first time I spoke in a church, I was standing there, and I was waiting and waiting while they did their prayers before I was ready to speak, and I was waiting and waiting and waiting, and it was so much prayer for healing of disease. And I'm thinking, if these people got the greatest health book right here alive, they shouldn't be praying for healing of disease, they should be praying for their great health. Something is wrong. That's when I found out a very important message. Knowledge without action is very harmful. We need to take action. Everyone say action.
Action.
Now say it with enthusiasm.
Action.
We need to take action and put that knowledge to work. Now a lot of people don't even have the knowledge because they're not even reading their scriptures. I met a lady the other day, she says she's been a believer 30 years and she never read all the scriptures. I said, man, I don't care how slow you read. In 30 years, you're going to get through it if you just focus on it. So we need to read the Word continuously over and over again. You know, and I think it's sick, a disgrace, an abomination to Yahweh that people know the Word better to a secular song than they know His Word. You know, it's not where your words are, it's not where your lips are, it's where your heart is. And if your heart isn't in the Word, you know, something, you know, is not what you think it is. We're going to be talking a lot about that. So we go back and we look at the scriptures, and we look at our first scripture here today. First of all, let me give you my favorite scripture. The first scripture I ever remembered without trying to remember a scripture was James 4:17. James 4:17. To know good and not to do it, to him it is sin. To know good and not do it, to him it is sin. You see, if we don't know we're doing wrong, you know, we don't feel bad about it. But when we know we're doing wrong, we keep doing it. That's where depression sets in. So we have to be careful. So remember, to know good and not to do it, to him it is sin. Now, as I said, I'm going to teach you a lot of things you haven't heard before about diet and health. Now you're going to have to take the responsibility and put it into action. But I will give you a chance to avoid this responsibility. If you don't want to take responsibility for your health, if you don't want to be obedient to Yahweh in all areas, now would be a great time to leave. Well, I'm glad you all decided to make that decision to stay. Because we're going to cover these scriptures, and as I said, you haven't heard these before, I'm sure. The first scripture is, the question is, why do we suffer? And the answer is found in Isaiah 24:5. Isaiah 24:5 says, the earth suffers for the sins of its people, for they have twisted Yahweh's instructions, violated His laws, and broke His everlasting covenant. Understand, the first sin of man wasn't about eating an apple. The first sin of man was about disobeying Yahweh. And just like Adam and Eve suffered, we continue to suffer today for disobeying Him. We have to understand where our heart truly is. So we look at this, and we look at what Yahweh wanted us to do, and we look at knowledge and how important it is. And there's a scripture when it comes to knowledge. Is the camera working, by the way? Is the microphone working?
Yes.
Okay. Because they told me before it wasn't. The first scripture we're going to look at when it comes to knowledge is one that's used often. It's Hosea 4:6. Hosea 4:6 says, my people have been destroyed for lack of knowledge. But it doesn't stop there. Most people that quote that scripture just stop right there. But it goes on to say, because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you for being priests with me. Since you have forgotten the Torah of your Elohim, I also forget your children. Understand, obesity and lung cancer do not run in families. Overeating and smoking does. We have to understand, when we follow His word, we're blessed, and our children are blessed because we're teaching them the word, because that's what the word says to do. When we disobey and ignore and reject His word, not only will we suffer, but we're setting it up for generations after us to continuously suffer from all diseases, which doctors will say, cancer runs in your family, or obesity runs in your family. No, being disobedient runs in your family. And we need to get right with the word. We have to understand our actions do have something to say about the amount of time we are here in his bodies. Some people claim different, but the scriptures clearly show us that our actions have something to do with it. We look at Ecclesiastes 7:17. It says, do not be a fool. Why die before your time? We look at Psalms 55:23. It says, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. And we go on and look at Proverbs 10:27. It says, the fear of Yahweh is length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. You see, our actions do have something to do with this. We could reverse that too. How do we add years to our life? Well, you take an example from Scripture. I'm telling you now, you have the Torah, the Gospel, and Revelation. Everything you need to know about Scripture, past, present, and future, is found in the Torah, the Gospel, and Revelation. Every other book in Scripture is there for an example for us of how to live our lives in certain situations. Is there to explain the Torah, the Gospels, and Revelation. You understand that, and you look at this wonderful example. 2 Kings 25. King Hezekiah was on his deathbed, on his last breath, and he repented for his sinful life, and Yahweh added 15 years to his life. We have to understand our actions mean a lot. How do we obtain long life? It says it very well in Wisdom 4:10. And if you don't know, Proverbs means wisdom. Proverbs 4:10 says, listen, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. It goes on to say in Proverbs 3:1, my son, forget not my Torah, but let your heart guard my commands. For the length of days, long life, and shalom shall they bring you. We have to understand the problem where it begins. The problem begins today is because we're living versus custom versus design. We have a situation today, custom versus design. Design says one thing. During creation, Yahweh said, this is what we should eat, this is how we should live, this is how we should think, and anything other than this is sin. But the custom and culture today says the opposite. And we have a choice which one way we're going to choose. You know the scripture that says, many are called, but few are chosen? Well, in the Aramaic, it says, many are called, but few choose. We're all chosen. We have a choice. You know, and it's where we decide, custom versus design. And we're going to look at the custom, but when it comes to diet, the custom today is to eat as much as you want. The custom today is eat any time you want. The custom today is eat as much fat, protein, carbohydrates as you want. Whatever makes you feel good. Not if it's just good for you, but if it makes you feel good. So you can take some stimulant or some drug or something else, and even though it's bad for you, you still feel good, so you're deceived to think that it's okay. Where the design says when to eat, what to eat, how much to eat, how often to eat. And it tells us exactly. One of the biggest problems we have is people being confused about diet from the scriptures. Because I tell you, I agree 100%, there are some things in scripture that might not have been revealed to all of us. There are some things in scripture that people can make sound different and might confuse us. But the clearest topic, besides the fact of Yeshua being who he says he is, the clearest topic in all of Scripture easily is the foods that we should be eating. It couldn't be more clear. It tells us straight up, these are the foods to eat and these are the foods to avoid. But you see, you have all these teachings by men that haven't even read the Scripture saying, well, no, that's not what it really means and all this other stuff. And people say, you know what? I want to believe the scripture, but my taste buds want to believe something else. And then you walk in these churches, and the main pastor's not even there because he's in the hospital, he's sick, and the associate pastor is overweight, and then you go to the back of the congregation, and they have coffee and donuts, and then you go to the church barbecues, and they have pork and all these other stuff. And then they say, well, that's not for us. We don't have to do all that. We don't have to keep those laws and everything else because that's the Old Testament they want to claim. They want to claim all that, but when it comes to tithing, they write into the Old Testament. You know what I call it? I call it the gospel of hypocrites. That's what's being taught today. You know, we got the oxymoron gospel being taught today. So we need to wake up and see what's happening. It's custom versus design. Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2 says, do not add what I command you to do, and do not subtract from it, but keep the command of Yahweh that He has given us. Do not add or subtract, but keep it. Now a lot of people look at, I'm not going to add, I'm not going to subtract, but keep it. It doesn't say, just do not add or subtract. It says, but keep it. We have to keep it. Now some people say, well, I don't need to read scripture because His Spirit speaks to me. Well, I can tell you what, if you think you're one of those people where His Spirit speaks to you, you better confirm it's His Spirit in the scripture. Because if that Spirit that's speaking to you says something opposite than what scripture says in the Word, that's not His Spirit speaking to you. There's no spirit that's going to tell you to treat your body like a garbage dump. There's no spirit that's going to tell you to, sickness is okay and disease is fine. No, the Bible says treat your body like a temple. You know, keep it clean and keep it, fresh and beautiful. We go on and look at scripture and see what it says. When we go from the trends of today to the design of man, we can see where the confusion has come. Deuteronomy 12:32 says, see that you do all I command you to do, do not add or take away from it. See that you do all I command you to do, do not add or take away with it. Now, I know what most of you are thinking, because I'm thinking here at this event, and I'm so happy to be doing so. But I know what some other of you are thinking, and I'm telling you this. We are blessed by following His Word. But we are only saved through the blood of Messiah. We need to understand that. However, if we are truly saved by the blood of Messiah, we will have no problem. Our life will be about learning and studying and growing and following His Word. We have to understand something, and I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow. It's about making a covenant and keeping it. And we have to understand when we say Yeshua is our Messiah, we are saying we are going to follow, study, and learn the words of this covenant, and we are going to keep it. And in Jeremiah it says, curse be the man that obeys not the words of this covenant. We need to stick to this. If you said with your lips something that your heart did not follow, it doesn't matter what your lips said. You have to hate the things that you once loved. I'm not saying you're not going to still do them. You might struggle with them, but you're not supposed to enjoy them. So we need to remember that when we go to our pizza parties. We need to remember that when we're drinking our coffee and treating our body in not the ideal way. We need to keep these things in mind. So don't leave here saying, Paul said, I'm not saved because I'm drinking coffee or eating pizza. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, now you're going to know some things, and now it's time to start doing that. And I'm going to take some questions and comments, and all these basic questions are covered in my material. But we have to look at the laws, the guidelines of the Torah have been changed today so much that people don't even recognize them anymore. People are so confused, they don't even recognize them. And most people will agree to this, that's what's happened. However, it's not only the laws. We have been given a time schedule of what to eat. I wrote a book here called The Daylight Diet. And Yahweh tells us not just what to eat, not just how to eat, not just how often to eat, but the time of the day that's ideal to eat. You see, so we got the time schedule from Yahweh, but then we got the time schedule of man. Daniel 7:24-27 says, it's 10 horns, are 10 kings who will rule that empire. Then another king will arise from the other 10 who will subdue 3 of them. He will defy the Most High and oppress the holy people of the Most High. He will try to change the times and the laws. He will try to change the times and the laws. Well, he's been successful at both. We see clearly how with Constantine and so on, and how he's changed Yahweh's obedience. He's attempted to change the word and deceive so many people. But what about time, you say? How can he change time? Well, when you have man living off a clock, a man-made clock with handles, you know, you're not looking at Yahweh's masterpiece, the sun and the moon, to tell your time. We've been deceived. Can anyone in this room tell me what happened September 3rd, 1752? What about September 4th, 1752? Or September 5th, 1752? The reason why none of you can tell me is because nothing happened. In 1752, from September 2nd to September 14th, it's known as the week that never happened. Because Yahweh had one way to do it, but man's calendar, man's pagan calendar, couldn't keep up with Yahweh's, so they just eliminated a week from the calendar. They completely eliminated a week, and unless it was your payday, you didn't care. They changed the times and the laws right in front of us. And all of this is set up for the confusion, and the biggest place is right in Yahweh's word. Because when you change the idea, the result changes. Is anyone in this room a computer programmer? Right, a show of hands. Is anyone in this room a computer programmer? This is the first time I've ever been in a room where somebody wasn't a computer programmer. Well, if you are a computer programmer, if you change just one note, it'll mess up the whole program. What about musicians? Is anyone here a musician? If you change just one note, you would not get a different sound. You change one thing and it messes up the whole thing. And when we change the ideas that Yahweh wanted for us, the guidelines that He set for us in the Torah, it messes up the outcome. And we question, why are we sick? Why? We believe we're doing the right thing, the righteous thing. But in all this practice of healing of disease, something is wrong. And what we can start off with saying is wrong is people are not reading the right translation of their scriptures. What we can start off by saying is I found the problem with just most every translation out there. If you truly want to start understanding Yahweh's word, understanding the Torah, understanding the gospel, understanding Revelation, what you need to do is correct your scriptures right now. You need to separate it. You need to rip out the page that separates the new covenant from the old covenant, because it's not two books, it's one. We need to understand where the confusion starts. You see, the enemy is going to try to get us any way he can. And he's doing a job for all of us. He's doing a job for all of us. And he's had me come here to give this message. And I don't like getting people upset, feeling bad. But I've been known as taking the man who takes away people's pleasure. And when I look at the examples in Scripture, I say, that's not a bad thing. But I tell people what not to eat, or what they're eating wrong that they normally like. I tell them the times they're eating usually wrong, the amount. You know, so I'm not the most popular guy out there. However, I came here to show you what the scriptures say. I know what it is to live like with a disease. I know, and on a daily basis, I have people calling me up that have been given a death sentence just weeks to live by their doctors. On a daily basis. And some listen and they overcome, and some don't, and they succumb. You have the choice to choose life or choose death. And that is why I come out here. I leave my family, my newborn baby, just to travel and get this word out. You talk about ministry. My wife is the greatest ministry because she lets me go. It is amazing. But one of the greatest scriptures, and I'll jump to this now, is it Ezekiel 33:11. I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live. I take no pleasure in seeing people sick, eating unhealthy, living a life against Torah. I just want them to change from their wicked ways so they can live. I'm going to say things tonight or this afternoon that is going to touch some of you. You know, and I don't really need your permission to say these things, but let's keep it on a friendly level. Do I have your permission to step on your toes? Yes. To wake you up?
Yes.
Okay, be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for. Okay, you promise you're not going to get mad at me, right? Okay. All right. Well, we look at creation. We look at what Yahweh created. You see, all food has a life process to it. And the food that we're supposed to eat has a ripening stage, a freshness stage, and a dying stage, or an unhealthy stage. All food we're supposed to eat, that's the way it's been designed. But then you look at fruits and vegetables, a ripening stage, a freshness stage, and a rotting stage. But then you take something else. Let's look at a Twinkie. You know, you could have a Twinkie from 20 years ago in the same pack loop the same exact way. You see custom versus design. Yahweh planned for us everything we need to know and eat and so on. And it's all the confusion that's just really keeping us away from the things we need. Let's look at an example. He not only tells us what's best for us, but what part of the body it's good for. For example, a carrot. What part of the body do you think a carrot's good for?
Eyes.
How do we know that? Well, the way we know that is if you cut a carrot, it looks like an eye. Let me give you another one, an avocado. Do you know an avocado is wonderful for pregnant women? It looks like a womb if you cut it in half. How about celery? Do you know celery, the minerals in celery are wonderful for the bones? What's the shape of celery? Let me give you another one. This one you'll have to think about. A walnut. What do you think a walnut's good for?
Brain.
The brain. The oils in the walnut are good for the brain. Now what about a Twinkie? What do you think a Twinkie? It might look like it's supposed to come out of some tumor, but it looks like something else. But yet we have Twinkie being a $1 billion business. With a little cheaper wrapper, people are buying Twinkies. And we have people eating that. People are choosing the carrot cake over the carrots and the apple pie over the apples. We see the deception that's happened. Again, the enemy will get to us any way he can. And he's doing a great job. He's doing a great job. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, Yahweh has secrets known to no one. We are accountable for them. But we and our children are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us. So we can obey and keep them. So there's some things that it says, as wisdom comes, will be revealed. The diet is so clear in scriptures of what to eat. It couldn't be more clear. We're going to talk about this. See, Yahweh had a plan for us. And one of the most encouraging scriptures you'll ever find of all scriptures is what that plan reveals in Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says Yahweh. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and give you a hope." Now I know right now a lot of you have a lot of questions on your mind. What are the ideal foods for my body? What is that future and hope all about? Why is Paul yelling? I know these questions. I get them often. Am I talking too loud?
No.
Good. Okay. But that's what it is, to give you a future and give you a hope. He takes no death, no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants to give us a future and give us a hope so we can live. So we go on to see that Yahweh will never ask us to do anything that we don't have the capability of doing. And we can do all things through him who strengthens us. Now certainly we can eat a salad. Certainly we can eat healthy. Can we give up our cigarettes? Can we give up our alcohol? You see, when it comes down to here, we see habits versus addictions. See, I used to think they're the same thing, but they're not. You see, a habit is when you do something on a regular basis that you enjoy, but when you find out it's bad for you, you break that habit. It might take a while, but you break it. An addiction is when you do something on a regular basis that you enjoy, but when you find out it's bad for you, you make excuses to keep doing it. We need to change our addictions into habits and break them. Everyone say break them.
Break them.
I'll say it with enthusiasm.
Break them.
We need to break them, not make excuses about them. But we need to understand that, and our body's a temple, and we want to keep it holy and keep it clean. And the things that they're saying on TV, the mother abomination of Yahweh, the television set, the things that are on air today. I have a rule about TV. Unless I'm on it, don't watch it. But you have to understand what's happening out there today. So we look at this and we look at how lazy people have become. They say, "Oh, I'm too tired today." One of the worst things you have in your house you need to get rid of immediately. This is not an opinion, it's a fact. Get rid of this lazy box called the microwave oven. "Well, I'm too lazy to cook it." Well, eat it raw. The microwave oven is completely destroying the food. And if you put water in a microwave oven and try to plant without water, it's going to die. People say, "Well, I don't have time to make healthy food." I say, "Well, the healthier you eat, the less you're going to eat, and then the more time you'll have." I know you tell me, but I say, "Well," they say, "I don't have money to eat healthy." I said, well, the healthier you eat, the less you need to eat, because you're eating so healthy, and you'll be spending less money on food. Then people say, I know what you're saying, but I like to eat. I said, well, the less you eat, the longer you live, the more you get to eat. You have to understand, people say, I'm lazy, making all these excuses. I go, you're lazy, you don't have time to come to a health lecture or read a book. Then I go to their house and they're doing something crazy like watching the Weather Channel 3 hours a night. And it's not even where they live. People go, well, how are we going to know what the weather is? That's why they make windows and houses. They're wrong on the TV most of the time anyway. So we need to understand this, and we need to get right with this. Proverbs 4:10 says, Proverbs 4:10, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a good, long life. Listen to me, not just listen to me, and do as I say, and you will have a good, long life. He gave us a plan. He created us to do it a certain way when it comes to what we should eat. And there's many different ideas about what that plan was. But I'm going to give it to you right now. During creation, Yahweh had a preordained diet for us, for man that he created man to eat. He did not change his mind later on and say, well, now I'm going to change my mind and here's the new plan. There was no such thing as an original plan and a new plan. There was the first revealed plan and the later revealed ideas in his original plan. You know, people tell me all the time, and I have to say it, and by all means, I think eating a vegetarian, a vegan diet is healthy, but I have to say, most people that are on a vegan, vegetarian diet, there's a new age thing today connected to veganism. Yes. So we have to understand that. And these vegans, they don't look at scripture. You see here, I was a vegan for a very long time, and a good friend of mine, Jordan Rubin, used to tell me, you know, well, that's not the diet of the Bible. And I used to have discussions with him. And then I had to read the scriptures to find out that I was wrong. You know, we got these, and I know because I was there. What do we have even say? They say, well, the diet of man, and you know, the original diet is found in Genesis. Man was eating fruits and vegetables. I know they were also naked, but you're wearing clothes now. You see, we have to look at our situation. We have to look at Yahweh told us to do. And we have to understand everything. We can't just look at one thing. Yes, in the beginning of man had the most pristine environment with the highest quality foods we'll ever have in the history of man until we go back. Is the fruits and vegetables from the garden at that time. But when we got kicked out of the garden, we had to switch to a survival mode. It's no longer I got this amazing fruits and vegetables. Now it's like, I need to get what I need to get to survive. And Yahweh's love for us, he said, well, I'm going to reveal something to you that I had in my plan originally that I'm revealing now. If you choose to, if you're not able to get high quality fruits and vegetables to meet all your nutritional needs, I am allowing you to consume certain meats. Not all meats, but certain meats. It couldn't be more clear in the scripture. It tells us what those meats were, and it tells us what those meats weren't. And it tells us not that we had to, it tells us if we choose to. There's only one place in Scripture where it commands us to eat meat, and that's at the Passover. And during Scripture, the people that ate meat, most of them, unless they had a lot of money, they didn't eat it like we do today, 5, 6, 7, 8 times a week. They ate it once, maybe during the feast, once a month, or a couple of times a year. And I'm telling you now, people are not getting heart attacks and dying from eating meat. They're getting heart attacks and dying from overeating on meat. And the Scriptures tell us, Do not dine with drunkards or feast with gluttons. Gluttony is a sin, and that's the problem when it comes to health. We need to understand the scriptures, and even if you're on a vegetarian diet or a raw food diet, if you're eating 50 oranges a day and your teeth are falling out, don't tell me that that's the best diet for you because that food digests easy. If you're eating a salad at midnight, it's not going to digest the same time as if you're eating a salad in the middle of the day. We've been given a time and a place to do these things. You know, so there's not this answer about meat versus not meat. You know, this is what Paul was talking about, saying, you guys are discussing this and worrying about this so much while you're ignoring all the important issues. If you believe that you should be a vegetarian and you can meet all your nutritional needs on raw fruits and vegetables, well, go ahead and do so. But if you are struggling with that or do not believe that, then that's not for you, and you can eat the meats that I told you that were clean. It's not about right or wrong. Now, within those, what we're eating, how much, how often, and our attitude when we're eating, that's what really Torah is about. And that's what Paul was saying. And that's what we need to understand. So we need to look at this and look how clear it was. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are Yahweh's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Yeshua so we can do the good things He planned for us a long time ago. All of these things. From eating the fruits and vegetables, from eating the clean animals or the products from the animals, these were in His plan. However, Twinkies and ding-dongs and pizza, these weren't in His plan. So we need to understand and wake up. We need to say, okay, if I'm going to eat meat, there's a big difference between drugged-up processed meat and grass-fed meat. There's a big difference between drugged-up processed cow's milk you find in the store and raw, organic, fresh goat's milk you can find on the farm. See, we have to see what Yahweh planned for us, and our man has taken it and destroyed it. And that's when we look at Torah and being obedient. Because He told us to take care of our temple, and if you can't get the clean meat, if you can't get the healthy food, well then that's not for us. Because that's not taking care of our temple. Yes, we do the best we can do. If I can't afford, you know, or I don't have access to organic fruits and vegetables, well, I might have to eat the non-organic fruits and vegetables. But I'm going to learn and research which ones are sprayed more. I'm going to try to eat in season. I'm going to try to eat the foods that digest better. If I'm living in a colder environment where I need some cooked food, I'm going to try to take some digestive enzymes to help the food digest better because I lost those enzymes because I cooked them. So we need to understand we have to do what works best for our own individual situation, but not abandon the guidelines that He gave us. So when somebody says, there's one way to do it for everyone, I say, that's true, Yahweh's way. But within that way, there's so many different ways that a person can do it. Now I joke about coffee and everything else, but I'd rather see somebody drink one cup of coffee and their diet is wonderful than somebody eating a small amount of good food and their whole life is just all about coffee and junk food and all this other stuff. What we do the majority of the time when it comes to our diet is going to usually determine our health. You don't have to be 100% perfect in terms of health food, but we need to be as perfect as possibly could when it comes to the Yahweh's Torah. It's not difficult to eat clean food, and it's not difficult to eat a diet majority of fruits and vegetables. It's easy. People say, well, I don't understand what to eat. I say fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds as the base. 80% of your diet being fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds. And if you choose beyond that to eat anything else, that's fine. But as long as you have that as a base, you're pretty much going to start to be showing health. Now, those other things that are the fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds, it makes a big difference between steamed vegetables or chocolate chip cookies. Yeah. It's a big difference. And I tell you, when you start eating healthy and your body cleans out, your taste buds start waking up, and you don't desire those chocolate chip cookies anymore, and you really enjoy the fruits and the vegetables that Yahweh has given us. I mean, I didn't know what it was. I mean, most people today haven't tasted fresh figs. But you do taste that. It's like candy.
Yes.
You can't even get fresh figs in the store. They have this health food store called Whole Paycheck. I mean, Whole Foods. I went there and I looked for some fresh figs. The fresh figs were harder than dried figs. I'm like, what's going on here? So we need to understand. I mean, you know, we have to understand. Isaiah 47:10 says, only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I planned will come to pass. Sounds familiar, right? We got some teachers here this weekend talking about that scripture all the time. Mm-hmm. Only I can tell you the future before it ever happens. Everything I planned will come to pass. He has a plan, and it will happen if we stick to plan. If we get away from plan, understand there's no neutrality with Yahweh. We're in the form or against Him. We have to understand that, and many people have been led astray, and we're running the problem. When it comes to diet, there's three areas we went wrong, and we need to get right with in the scriptures. There's three areas. The first area is we give no consideration to His instructions of what acceptable food truly is. We give no consideration to His instructions for what acceptable food
truly is according to Him. The second area is we disregard His intended eating timetable. And the third area is probably the biggest abomination we do on a daily basis is we make an idol out of our food. Making food more important than His Word. Making food more important than Him. And we look at all three of these things. The first one we look at, His intended instructions for what we should eat. We look at Genesis 1:29. And Yahweh said, I will give you the seed-bearing plants throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And then He goes on to say, not to overeat. In Proverbs 23:20, I said it earlier, do not carouse with drunkards or feast, do not dine with drunkards or feast with gluttons. Not only does He tell us not to overeat, He tells us to not even eat with people that overeat. Because what do we tend to do when we hang out with people that are doing things that we shouldn't be doing? It's just a matter of time we start doing what they're doing. That's why I usually eat alone. So we need to understand that. We have to give our full guidance and attention. Then He tells us in Leviticus and Deuteronomy 14, if you choose to eat meat or animal product, He tells us what clean and non-clean meat is. And it couldn't be more clear. There has to be no confusion. Well, I don't know what that says. I don't know. Does it say I should be a vegetarian? Does it say I should be eating meat? You know, well, Peter ate meat, you know, that he was told not to eat and all this stuff, and people want to mix up and get confused. Well, I can bless everything and it's good for me. No, it's not. I don't care how much you bless an Oreo cookie, they're never going to be healthy for you. Remember what I said about habit versus addiction. Now, do we want to stop stepping on some toes? I don't care how healthy, and I don't care what scripture you want to use, alcohol is not good for the body. Uh-oh. All of a sudden, let's not step on toes. So we have to understand habit versus addiction. We can twist around many scriptures and everything, but our body is a temple, and we're supposed to keep it holy. And alcohol destroys the body. It destroys the temple. In any amount, any type, any time. Can we get away with it? Can we get away with eating bad food? Our body is amazing. We can get away with so much, praise Yahweh, for going this way. But because we've gotten away with it, it's not an excuse to keep doing it. It's the time Yahweh has given us to figure us out. So when we learn, we can change. You know, when Yahweh had Abraham leave the promised land, 440 years later, said, This land will be to your descendants. They came back 440 years later when they crossed the Jordan. They didn't just start killing people. They gave those people 440 years to get right with His Word. And only one listened, Rahab, and she was spared. He's given you time to change, to wake up. Just because you've gotten away with drinking coffee and drinking alcohol, eating unclean foods, is not an excuse to keep doing it. It's the time He's giving you to wake up and start to change once you've found out it's wrong. Remember, to know good and not do it, to Him it is sin. Jeremiah 29:5 says, plant gardens and eat their produce. Plant gardens and eat their produce. And I can tell you, I guarantee you, the end times are coming. And you know how man's going to control us? By our food. If food is our idol, they're going to control us by our food. But if you're planting your own food, guess what? They have no control over us. Yahweh provides the water, not man. You've got a house, go get yourself a rain catcher and get some water without relying on man for it. You know, go plant yourself a garden. Oh, it's too difficult. Just build a hole and put a seed in the ground. It's not difficult. You know, so we need to start doing it. It doesn't say just eat the produce and plant gardens and eat their produce. Learn to go on the internet and look up square foot gardening. Square foot gardening. You go on my web show, rawlifehealthshow.com. Rawlifehealthshow.com is my web show. And on that show, I'll show you the garden I built, the square foot garden. I don't have a lot of space. I know a lady the other day, she goes, I don't have any space. I have a cement driveway. What am I supposed to do, Paul? Well, she had the end of the driveway. She had a garage with a flat roof. I said, what's on that roof? She goes, the roof, nothing. I said, does it get a lot of sun, right? She goes, yeah, that's a perfect place for your garden. You go to New York, they have penthouse growing trees on the penthouse. 50 floors up in the air, they're growing trees and gardens. Why can't you do that on top of your one-story garage? Where there's a will, there's a way. Yahweh will provide if we want, you know, if it's in His Word. The next way is we didn't stick to a design eating timetable, a design plan. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a path before each person that seems right, but in the end, ends in death. See, we think we're doing it the right way by doing all these things and eating these foods, and we've gotten away with it, so it's okay. Doctor gave us a clean bill of health, so it's okay. What does Yahweh say? What do the examples in the scriptures say? That's what tells us if we're going to get away with it or not. See, we've taken time and we've disordered it and just completely, you know, created this abomination of telling time by the hands on a clock and not Yahweh's masterpiece, the sun and the moon, which he tells us we're supposed to tell time at. Now, that might not work for your job, but it can certainly work for your eating and sleeping schedule. You don't want to go to your job and they're going to say you're late. You're going to say, not according to the sun and moon, I'm not. They'll give you the best Donald Trump impression, you're fired. Now, if you got that joke, I know you're watching too much TV. So we need to understand that. So, Ecclesiastes 3:1, there is a time for every purpose under the heavens. The problem is using this man-made clock. Yahweh told us in Genesis about the sun and the moon and the importance of it. We need to eat according to the 10-day timetable and sleep according to the time he loves to sleep. And every system around the world that promotes longevity all agree 100% that the body works in cycles. And during the daytime, when the sun is out and those sun rays hit the eye, the stimulation, it stimulates digestion, and the body will digest the easiest when it's daylight outside. And as the sun goes down and the moon comes up, the moon has a gravitational pull on all the ones of the planet. And the body is made up of molten water. And this is when the body's time to cleanse. So when we're sleeping, the body is naturally healing. So the ideal time to be sleeping is at nighttime, and the ideal time to be awake and eating is in the daytime. But we got it backwards today. You know, people eating their main meals at night. My husband, if Yahweh wanted us to eat at nighttime, he would have made fruits and vegetables glow in the dark. He doesn't. We do most of these things at nighttime when we should be sleeping, and you have to understand the problem's created. This whole book, The Daylight Diet, talks about this, and it's scripturally based. It tells us the ideal times, or shows us through example, the ideal time to eat our food is the third and the ninth hour of daylight. That's when the daily sacrifice were made, and that's when he ate after the daily sacrifices. The third and ninth hour of daylight. So we see what's happened and how far we've gotten away from what we should be doing. The average person is eating their food late at night. People eat so much so late at night. There's even something called late night eating disorder. That's when people eat the majority of their food late at night. It's gotten so bad, there's even something called sleep eating disorder. That's when people actually go to sleep and without knowing you get up in the middle of the night, they don't wake up, but they sleepwalk right up to the refrigerator and they eat food and then they put the food back that they didn't finish and they go back to bed without even knowing they were doing it. It's called sleep eating disorder. There's only one thing more sad and more dangerous from a diet standpoint I can think of than getting up in the middle of the night and eating and not knowing it. You know what that is? That's getting up in the middle of the night and eating and knowing it. And that's what so many people are doing today, and they're being led away from Yahweh's word, creating this tremendous problem. We have set times to eat and set times not to eat. Ecclesiastes 10:16-17 says, what sorrow for the land ruled by a servant, the land whose leaders feast in the morning. Happy is the land whose king is a noble leader, whose leaders feast at the proper time to gain strength and not to get drunk. You see, we make an idol out of our food, and this is where the problem happens. Philippians 3:19 says, they are heading for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about the shameful things, and they think only about life here on earth. When it comes to diet, one of my favorite scriptures is Job 23:10-13. I know what it is to live like with a disease. When I was laying on my bathroom floor with a bathroom full of blood, crying, not knowing what to do, thinking my life was going to be over. And fasting, not even knowing fasting would, just fasting because I'd rather starve to death than live with this pain. And then I read this, Job 23:10-13, years later, and I see what I was missing. It says, but he knows the path I take when he has tried me. I shall have come forth as gold. My foot has held to his steps. His ways I have kept and not declined. Neither have I backslidden from the commandment of his lips. And here it is, everybody. I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Not just my food. That word necessary means everything. I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That means without this food, my life on this planet ceases to exist. But his words, his instruction, he is more important than my life. And then we see what we're missing here. We look at another person who put his life on the line, Daniel. In Daniel 1:8, it says Daniel was determined not to defile himself by the pagans and their food. He stuck to Torah. Some people say Daniel was a vegetarian. No, he wasn't a vegetarian. But in the pagan land, he wasn't going to eat the abominable meats. He stuck to Torah. Psalms 107:17-20. This is what my ministry, Torah Life Ministry, is based on. It shows the connection between Yahshua and Yahweh and a health message right here. These two scriptures. First one is Psalms 107:17-20. It says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted. They're being despised of all matter of food, and they draw near to the gates of death. Then they cried to Yahweh in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. And then the other part of it is Matthew 9:35. Yeshua was going around all of the cities and the villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news in the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And here's the connection. We got Yahweh saving, healing, and delivering. He saves us from sin, heals us from sickness, and delivers us from the enemy. Then we got Yeshua teaching, preaching, and healing. He teaches us the knowledge that will save us. He preaches the good news that will heal us. And by his blood we are healed. And we see that connection. Psalms 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, but they delight in the law of Yahweh, meditating on it day and night. Now, do I have your permission to step some more?
Yes.
Do I have your permission to start jumping on some toes?
Yes.
Remember, it couldn't be more clear what the scriptures say about diet. Obedience, action. I'm here to help you. Go to my website. Who has that email list that's going around, by the way? The email that says going around, did we finish that? Give that to me at the end, please. Go to my website, email me, call me, get in touch with me. Yahweh has put me here to help you. How can I say this in such a big crowd? Because I know there's just a handful of you that will actually take me up on it. I've seen the experience. You're going to be excited now and everything else, but I'm going to walk down there later tonight or tomorrow or next week. I'm going to see you somewhere, and you're going to start hiding from me. I don't care, you know, if you want to eat something, you don't have to hide. I go to eat with people and say, you know, that I feel bad, I'm eating this. I mean, you can eat whatever you want, but your body not mine. I know what most people are going to do, but there are a handful of you that are going to get this and run with it. For those others, I'm planting a seed that one day will grow inside you. So we're all ready to do what Yahweh wants us to do, but there's an adjustment period. So I understand that. But understand, I've never met anyone who eats worse than I used to eat. And if I can do it, anyone can do it. Some people say, well, I'm not disciplined enough to change. I tell you, we're all disciplined. We're all disciplined people for what we love. We have to understand that. Now we're going to start getting some interesting stuff here. And I tell you tomorrow, if you think this message is convicted enough, and you don't like me already, come tomorrow, I'm really going to put the final nail in the enemy's coffin. Now, we're going to get some real, tomorrow's health according to the scriptures, and you know, and we're going to get into some stuff tomorrow, but I want to focus on diet right now, because I saw a need for it, but let me just give you an example of who I am and the message that Yahweh has put on my heart. And when we close, you'll see it more clearly. See, he's told me about diet. In his way, he showed me what to eat, when to eat, and how to eat people to do that. I don't know if he taught me good, because some, not everyone does it. But he showed me something else that he put in my heart. He showed me about health of the whole body, not just food. And not about idolizing food the way I used to do. Luke 12:22-23. He said to his taught ones, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat, nor about your body, What you shall put on life is more important than the food, and the body is more important than clothing. Do we understand what I just said? Worry is a sin. Do not worry. He will provide. If you want to eat organic food, he'll provide the funds. He'll provide the food. He'll provide the knowledge. He'll provide the books and the information. Life is more than just food, and it's more than just clothing. I tell you, the number one alternative doctor today out there in the world is a chiropractor. A chiropractor, because people got bad backs. That's the number one alternative doctor out there. Why do people have bad backs? Because I'm going to tell you now, that's something destroying the health, and the enemy will find any way he can get in to get into his message. The enemy will get into this message. The enemy will get to you any way he can. And I can tell you, more harmful than, you know, more people die from a knife and fork than they could imagine. But I can tell you, there's killing people even more than another area, because it's not just physically, it's also spiritually. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know, bad back, as a result of walking around on your toes all day, one of the biggest tricks of the enemy to destroy our health physically, emotionally, and spiritually is a high heel. Uh-oh, I'm stepping on toes now, and you're happy I'm not wearing high heels. And so am I. Physically, if you're walking around all day in your high heels, your feet are sore and tired, your back's sore, your legs are tired and everything else, you might adapt to it because the body has a made power to adapt, but it is not healthy physically to wear high heels and your feet to be in that position all day. Spiritually, you have to understand and look at the history of the high heel, and then you'll start to see some powerful enemy power getting into your life. So we have to understand that. It's a serious, serious message when it comes to our health. So we look at these other things. We look at the biggest elimination system of the body is what? The biggest elimination organ of the body is the skin. It's the skin. Some of you want to walk out, but you don't want to walk out in your eye, so you're staying there, right? The biggest elimination system of the body is the skin. That's where you can get a dry skin brush. Probably the best investment you can make is get a dry skin brush from the store and just brush your skin. However, if you're clogging your skin, you're defeating the purpose of the body cleansing itself. And I tell you, physically, one of the worst things you can do to your body is put makeup on your skin. Because it's clogging the pores of the skin. First of all, I don't want anyone to call himself a Torah observer or a Torah seeker and then wear lipstick because lipstick has pork in it. Now, if you really feel strong about this message and you feel you want to wear lipstick, well, at least get an alternative natural kind, these natural, made out of natural minerals that are alternative kinds. However, we have to look at this health from a spiritual answer, from a spiritual place. Makeup is not healthy physically, spiritually, or emotionally, and we've been deceived to believe it does. And it is, but it's not. Just look at the idea. Makeup. Yahweh designed us to be a certain way. But we say we know better. Well, I don't like the way he's making me look. I'm going to look bad. And don't tell me, ladies, you're doing it for your husband because you don't get up 2 hours before they wake up and put on your makeup. We have to seriously think and look at what we're doing for our own health. I say, if you wouldn't put it on your body, you shouldn't put it. If you wouldn't put it in your body, you shouldn't put it on your body. And if you ate some lipstick, you would get sick. Perfume, if you're putting perfume on your body, you wouldn't drink it. But you put it on your body and it gets in your body. If you want to smell good, first of all, stop eating abominated foods and you'll smell good. Second of all, use some essential oils and you can smell good, but you can take them internally and externally and out good for the body. And Yahweh wants us to do that. We have to stop looking at this and being serious about this. We have to look at the whole message. Now I know you women are thinking, what about, why are you getting on this women? What about getting on the men? I know what you think. Well, I'll tell you what. And I have something that I have been convicted of, that I have learned the hard way, but I'll tell you, we were not born with a razor blade on our finger where we could just go like this and shave. Yahweh wants us to have beards, and if he doesn't want you to have a beard, he didn't create Gillette razor blades, he created your body not to grow a beard. Beards are of Yahweh. There's a health aspect to hair on the face. There's a health aspect to hair in the body. I used to be into bodybuilding. I want to shave my whole body. I felt like a different person. I'm sure I was seen as a different person. So we have to understand, you know, the true health aspect. Why would Yahweh want us to have these things? You know, but the culture today says different. You know, shaving is an abomination that comes right out of Babylon, right out of Egypt. And you talk about hypocrites, they shave, they won't wave. What's the point of that? That's an oxymoron. You look at today, you got the basketball players, you got the youth, and they're shaving today, and it's an in-style thing. No, it's bad for your health physically, and it's not of Yahweh. Now, I know what you men are saying. You know, I know what you're thinking. Well, if you're not thinking, I'll tell you what. The United States has followed this abomination that people are doing, and the health is declining more rapidly than ever before. The United States continues to go down the list. The United States is only one of the few countries around the world where not only men shave their beards every day, but women shave. That's not healthy for the body either, and that's not what Yahweh wanted. Uh-oh, now I'm really stepping on some toes. Understand, if you never shaved to begin with, nobody would hardly even know you have hair. Do you shave your hair on your arms? Now, some of you do, but most of you don't. Well, why not? Because it's not in style. But it's okay to shave your hair on your legs. It's not healthy. People are like, you expect me to go out there with hair on my legs that people can see? No, I don't expect you to go out there with your legs that people can see. If you're dressing the way Yahweh wants you to dress, people wouldn't even worry about the hair on your legs. People say, I can't, I gotta shave my underarms, I'm gonna be, you know, society's gonna run away from me. Well, if they're not seeing your underarms, they have nothing to worry about. You have to understand there's a health aspect to it from a physical standpoint. But the enemy has slowly but surely gotten us away from what Yahweh wanted. And I can tell you, one of the best compliments I ever got is not somebody said I stopped eating late at night. There was this girl, I did a conference not too long ago in Florida, you know, and she came to my conference the next day. She goes, you know what? For the first time in years, I stepped out of my house without any makeup. And now I know it's what y'all want. I feel so much better for her. And I'm telling you, the number one cause of disease is stress. It's stress. It's not diet. It's not about dress. It's stress. And we have to do things to avoid stress. Now I'm going to give you, before we close, three things that to avoid stress, three or four things to avoid stress, and then I'm going to give you two or three scriptures, and then we're going to be done, and then you're probably never going to talk to me again. Okay, here it is. The ways we can avoid stress that I have found out. The first way is, now, I didn't know this when I was younger, but as we grow and get control, we learn this. We need to reduce the stress any way we can figure. And yes, eating healthy, eating more digestible food, eating at the right times, reduce stress. But what I found is, I've developed a great passion for classical music. Classical music, I used to hate it. I mean, I used to get stressed out from it because I never knew when the song was going to end. Because every time it sounded like it was going to end, I felt it. But now, when I drive, I'm listening to it and I love it. You know, and I can just picture my little baby when she grows up saying, "You're boring, Dad," or something. But that's so, it relaxes the body so much. So I even know some of the songs, you know, the names and everything. It's amazing. If you ever found that out to be stressful, it is. Another thing is, now the men won't get this as much as the women do, but the women will understand this. It's going for a walk without having somewhere to go. It's just taking a walk for no reason. See, us guys, we gotta go on a walk because we think there's no point in going for a walk if we don't have a destination. But women just go on a walk. You mean you're going on a walk, you don't have anywhere to go, you just go on a walk? It relieves stress. It's so, sometimes I really want to relieve stress, I go for a walk and I listen to my classical music at the same time. Sometimes it's so stress relieving, I wake up on a slide roll because I fall asleep. Dogs look at my face, Mary Ann, I'm like, what happened? We need to relieve the stress. And then I found probably one of the best ways to relieve stress. Probably better than any way I could ever imagine. I never thought I would find it, but I finally found it. And if you found this too, you would understand and agree, but if you didn't find this, you won't understand. And that was, I finally got rid of my PC and I got a Mac. Now everyone, let me give you these closing scriptures, and then I would like to pray. Amos 5:14-15. Amos 5:14 and 15. Seek good and not evil, then you may live. So Yahweh Elohim of hosts shall be with you as he has spoken. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Earnestly seek better gifts, and I shall show you a more excellent way. Psalms 34:4. I sought Yahweh, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Proverbs 3:1. Never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands on your heart. Never forget them. You know why we know the words of the secular song so well? Because we hear it over and over again. How many of you have all read all the scriptures over and over again? We need to continuously study the word so we never forget his commands and never forget what he did for us. I got some minutes and I'll tell you the story about this morning. I was coming here and I had to get up 3:30 in the morning because I had to get a conference last night. And I did a conference last night. I had to get it 3:30 in the morning. I left. It was a dark road. I had to drive an hour to get to where I was coming. And I got into the car, and I really wanted to be here. And I felt Yahweh wanted to be here. I got in the car, and the flat tire light was on. Now, the tires looked fine, but the light was on. Now, last time I was here in Texas, I actually, on the dark highway, had a flat tire in the middle of the night on a dark road. And so I knew that flat tire light very well. So I said, well, what am I going to do? Well, I can tell you, never forget the things I've taught you. There comes times where we think we know what we're doing, where we think we're doing fine and everything's wonderful, but something happened to really help us focus on Him. And I can tell you, this morning at 3:30 in the morning, I said, I'm going to go for it, and I'm going to run. And I prayed and focused more on Yahweh this morning at 3:30 in the morning for that hour and a half, more than I have done in years. Years. Should I have? No, every day should be like that. But something was so, the fear of Yahweh, it wasn't fear of getting stuck. You know, it wasn't fear of not being here. But there was something that the enemy was trying to do. But I tell you, I didn't have even my classical music on. That radio was off, and I was just the whole way praying. And it just was an eye-opening experience, and we all need those things. Now, some of you are probably hoping I didn't get here, but that's all right. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Here is my final conclusion. Fear Yahweh and obey all his commands. For this is the duty of every person. Remember every person. Every person. Understand it is an oxymoron to call yourself a believing Gentile. That's an oxymoron because a Gentile means the non-believers of the world. When you become a believer, you become Israel. When you become a believer, you're no longer a non-believer. You can't be a believer, non-believer. You're a believer. These are the commands for every person. Every single person. These are commands are for. No one is released. No one is, these are for these people, these are for that people. These are for all of us. Many are called, but few choose. Today I give before you life or death. Choose life so you may live. So I want to pray here. Abba Father Yahweh, I thank you so much for bringing us here together, Abba Father Yahweh. And I know it's a desire for people not to experience the pain that comes along with disease. Abba Father Yahweh, I know that you never wanted us to suffer the way people are suffering today. And it's my prayer that people seek your Torah and apply the guidelines that you have showed me to teach them, not just today, not just while they're motivated, but always. And they heal if they're sick, they stay healthy if they're not, but they take this message, and through their actions, they show people who you are and the way to do it. I pray all these things in Yeshua's name, and Abba Father Yahweh, if there's anyone in this room has confessed to you with their lips, but not their heart, that your Messiah, Yeshua is your Messiah. I pray that they recommit themselves to you, and I pray that they begin to hate the things that they once loved. And I pray that their whole life, your Torah is on their heart. I pray these things, all these things, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Amen and hallelujah. amazing job putting this together, so please let him know that. That he has invited me to give this message that most churches are scared for me to give. I am blessed that he has invited me here. I want to be back next year, so please tell him that we need to have him next year. But here's the thing, it's not about me. It's not for me. It's for him and it's for your health. So the healthier we are, it's not about so we can have more fun. It's the healthier we are, the more we can proclaim